What? Okay, Rosh. Okay, a couple of things. Today we'll go back to Beis Avin Aleph. Chumash Kisavo. Sunday, I'm not sure exactly the schedule yet. It could be, and you'll be here, but Hashem, could be that we'll have a little earlier shiur till around 10:15. So you should be here by 10:15. If it turns out that we can make it even later, then, you know, depending upon when I'll get picked up. So the earliest I think it'll be is like 10:15. And it'll be just like I usually speak. Sometimes I speak the first night of Slichos. They give out a packet, so I want you fellas to hear that packet as well. It's about Slichos and the idea of Slichos, and so we'll have that on because of Shem on Sunday. Then I got in the packet that I on whether we blow in the Shmon Esrei or not to blow in the silent Shmon Esrei. Packet on that. And let's see the first tosis. So maybe get Beis Avin Aleph. Aval gav the shtar shtaris pamim nami kar get. They're doing the first tosis on Beis Avin Aleph. And Bez Hashem, when I make that packet, more about eight echa topics, like I said, I would, we'll do that as well. Okay. There's a lot of exciting sugyas that are going to be coming up, so but I want you to know how to learn the Gemara Rashi Tosis. Because a lot of times people have a tendency, you know, to do all the fancy stuff and neglect the Gemara Rashi Tosis. Most people, a lot of times, you know, they want to hear all the fancy discussions without having worked through the page first, Gemara Rashi Tosis. So like we did before, we got to packet one and packet two. We managed went through all the tosis and on Beis and Midbeis to get the pshat in the sugya down. So I maybe get Avol gav the shtash toros pa'am nami kari get. Whereas this tosis is going to discuss the word get. So he says that the word get in Shas is not only used for a divorce bill, you know, a get, but a shtar, a regular shtar. You buy a house, you write a shtar. So a lot of times the word get in Shas is just used as for a shtar, not necessarily a get in the context of divorce, but just time again. Avagav the shtar shtar spam nomi kar get the stand ba shalayach ein edim chosim la get el bne tikana olam, that the edim signed the get bne tikana olam. Let's look at lamed dal on lamed beis, see what that's talking about. The Mishnah says, "Eidim chosmim al get mivnei tikkun ha'olam." So that means. That's an interesting statement. That the only reason why the Eidim sign and a get is to make life. Tikkun Olam means that certain things we are not really necessary halachically, but still we do them for the better, for the betterment of society. So now this get, when it's talking about here on Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis, is nothing to do necessarily with a get of divorce. It's just a regular shtar. Like if I buy your house, so you write a shtar that says that you're hereby selling me the house and you give it over to me. So technically speaking, that shtar doesn't have to be signed. You could just say that Reuven is selling, hereby selling Shimon his house. And he gives over the piece of paper. So that's, you don't need a signature. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Lamed Vav Amin Aleph. Take a look at Lamed Vav Amin Aleph. Isn't that a din daraisa that you have to sign a shtar? Even though that's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but sometimes psukim and neviim have the status like chumash or something like that. So doesn't it say the chasov sefer means you write the shtar, the chasom? So it's mashma that this goes back to it's already in Yirmiyahu. So you're saying this is, it's, so how can the Mishnah say that this is a takhanis chazal mibnei tikkun olam, but the pasuk says the chasov sefer chasom? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba lo tzricha l'Rabba Lozer, the Amar Eidi Mesir Kartik. Remember, we'd have a discussion, and this we're going to spend a lot of time on in the future. And that's as a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir about how does a shtar work. And Rav Shecht always likes to say over from Rav Salvechik that this whole machlokas is going on a shtar kinyan. This is a very fundamental thing. There are two types of shtars. You should know this. Very important. There are two types of shtars. There's a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. What does that mean? A shtar kinyan is a shtar that effects something. For example, a get. A get effects something. When the husband gives over the get, there's a divorce. So it accomplished something. There's such a thing as a shtar kedushin. We don't do that as long as that. Whereas under the chuppah, instead of giving the ring, you could just give a piece of paper that says that Harei HaMekudesh is Li, and even if the piece of paper is not worth a pruta, you still mekudesh with the shtar. So that's going to affect the marriage. Today, no one does that. No one does the kaddish for shtar as long as that. Mekadosh b'kesef. Even though the Mishnah says there are three ways of being Mekadosh and Isha, b'kesef, shtar, u'biya. So the only method that's used today is kesef. And the biya is not the biya, of course there's biya subsequently, but that's not the biya of creating the marriage. That's the biya of marriage, not creating the marriage. The only discussion the poskim have is if there was a civil marriage, so then maybe the actual living together creates the marriage. That was the machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin, whether somebody got married civilly or not through a halachic way, are they still considered halachically married, that if they would break up, whether they need to get them or not. And Rav Moshe Paskin, then make it. Of course, you should always. It's always better to give a get. But if the guy ran away, what do you do? So Moshe Paskin, Mikra Din, civil marriage doesn't need a get. Or a reform marriage, say. He was talking about reform marriage. Well, he would say the same thing by and Rav Henkin said no, that all marriages need gittin, even if it's not done halachically because they are living together. And Rav Moshe, I think even by civil, he would say you don't need to make it, then you don't need a get, because when they're living together, cohabiting together, they don't have in mind that that's creating the marriage. They have in mind that they're married from before, that they were married by the justice of the peace, they're married by the court, whatever. So Rav Moshe said, so that's, therefore that's not a good marriage. And Rav Henkin said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your kavana is. If your kavana is to live as husband and wife, even though you thought that the court married you or the reform rabbi married you, it's still, you consider halachically married and you need a get. Rav Moshe said that's how it. No, the question of reform marriage is, if it wasn't done halachically properly, so then the kedushin wasn't chal, say they weren't kosher edim or something like that. So then when they live together subsequently, is that called the creation of the marriage then?
And the thing before, so it's not even the idea of just living together, something has to have, there has to be some sort of not ceremony, but whatever it is before, because people live together, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that it would be considered a marriage.
No, so in other words, Rav Henkin's shita is that whenever people live together as a married couple, not just living together as a boyfriend girlfriend, but as a married couple, so that creates a marriage halachically.
And so he makes no distinction between a reform marriage or a civil.
Right. And Rav Moshe held no, that since when they're living together, then they don't have in mind that they're creating the marriage now. They have in mind that the marriage was created from before. Okay, but so there are two types of shtaros. There's a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. A shtar kinyan is a shtar that creates something. For example, a shtar of a get, or a shtar of a kedushin, or a shtar mechira. Say, I want to sell you the house. So of course you're going to have to pay me. But if I write a document that says, if I'm selling you the house, and says, I hereby makne my house to Reuven, and I hand him the document, it's his house. He just has to pay me for it. That's a separate thing, payment. But the actual transfer of ownership is done through the shtar. That's a shtar mechira. That's a shtar kinyan, because it created a change. It effected something. But then there's a concept in halacha called a shtar raya. In other words, say I bought your house and I made a different type of kinyan. I did a kinyan chazaka by plowing the land or something like that. I bought your field. So that was the kinyan. I did another kinyan. I didn't do a kinyan shtar. But still, I want a shtar written that you shouldn't deny later on that you sold me the house. So then you write a shtar that says that the house was sold, but that shtar didn't effect the transfer. That shtar is just a raya to, just in case you're going to deny it later, that that the transaction happened. That's called a shtar raya. What's a ksuba? You had a wedding? You going to a wedding? What's a ksuba? Shtar raya or shtar kinyan? What? What did you say? Raya to what? So you what? Right. In other words, a ksuba is a shtar raya that the husband made a kinyan with the Masada Kedushin to obligate himself in the monetary obligations he has towards his wife. So he makes a kinyan, you know, with the hanky or the pen or whatever it is. And then you write, and in front of Adim, and then Adim saw him. So ksuba is a shtar raya. Because it's not affecting anything. In other words, the chiyuv that you have on the ikur ksuba, that's stam you, like Rabbi Twersky says. But you made a kinyan. That was mechayiv you in the certain things. Certain things mechayiv anyway. A kinyan. The ksuba is not creating anything. But you still are afraid that maybe he'll deny that he ever obligated himself. So then you have a ksuba zushtar raya. So ksuba zushtar raya. So Rav Shecht always likes to say over from Rav Salvechik that the machlokas Rav Lezer and Rav Meir, whether a shtar has to be signed, is only by a shtar kinyan. By a shtar raya, l'kuli alma, it has to be signed. Because what kind of raya is it? I can say that you sold me the Brooklyn Bridge. I can write anything. So what kind of raya is it if you don't have the Adim sign? So avada for a shtar raya, you need what? Signing witnesses to be signed. But for a shtar kinyan, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir, whether you need Adim to sign, or is it enough that you just write the statement and you just give it in front of Adim, but you don't have Adim sign? That's the machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir.
What do you say?
Yes.
So
I can't hear you.
For sure, right. You need Adim signing and the one who can do it?
For Shtar Raya, in other words, the Shtar Raya is that they Adim witnessed something. They witnessed that I sold someone the house. And we made a kinyan, another type of kinyan, like a kinyan chalipin or kinyan kesef. And there were Adim that saw there was this transaction. And then we wrote a document to testify that this transaction took place. So we write it down, and then the Adim who saw the transaction took place, they signed. That's a shtar raya. So the question is, what is the Gemara talking about over here? Adim chosmim laget mipnei tikkun olam. So what kind of shtar are we talking about? So if it's a shtar raya, what do you mean mipnei tikkun olam? Not mipnei tikkun olam. You have to shine a shtar raya, because without signing a shtar raya, it's not a raya. Because I can write anything. I can write you owe me $1 million. So this is talking about what? A shtar kinyan. So shtar kinyan. So maybe you don't have to sign a shtar kinyan. According to who? Rabbi Eliezer. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That according to Rabbi Eliezer Meikar Adin, you don't have to sign. As long as you write on the shtar what is happening, you don't have to sign it. But if they tikkun olam, you should still sign it. So that's what the Gemara says. Eidim chosm, I'll get me mitei tikkun olam. In fact, the Gemara mitei tikkun olam daraisu. Dichsev chosm, v'sev chosm. I'm a rabbi lotzrichel, rabbi lozer. Domer eidim misir karti. Tekin rabbona yichasim mitei tikkun olam. Dezimni maisi sadi. Because what are we afraid? That maybe what's maisi? die. Maybe the Eidim are going to die. And then how am I going to know that the transaction ever took place? The Baal, if it's a get, the Baal will say, I never divorced her. Ah, you'll show me you have a get too, but there's no signatures on it. So if the Eidim who were there are still alive, they'll come and say, no, we were there. It happened, the divorce. But if they're not alive, then that's a problem. Right? So therefore, always a good idea, have signatures. Signatures never die. And I always have the signatures there. So you have it built in. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That even according to Rabbi Lezer, who says by a shtar kinyan, you don't have to sign it, but it's prudent to sign it, because maybe one day you're going to need your shtar kinyan to serve as a raya. So that's what the Gemara is saying. If they tikkun olam, you should sign it. Tachin Rabban Eidin Chasidim, and they tikkun olam. The Zimnin, the Maisi Sad, the Inami, Zimnin, the Ozlo Yom Dina Sayam. Well, sometimes they're going to go to Medina Sayam. They're going to go to far away. And the Baal is going to deny that he divorced her. Or the guy is going to deny that he ever sold the house. And now it's going to be in problems. So, but if you have signatures there, so you'll always be okay. So the Pasha Pshat, the Gemara says that this Mishnah in Gittin that says Eidim sign Bnei Tikkun Olam is according to Rabbi Lazar. That Eidei, what? Mesira Karti. And we're talking about a Shtar Kinyan. And then the Gemara fits it in even to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef on my field table, Rabbi Meir, Eskir Shei Eidim Mepharshim Shmosem Begit Bnei Tikkun Olam. Rashi, Ruven Oshim and Meikar Lohayu Chosmim In other words, originally, when there were signatures in the get, they didn't sign their name. They just signed, I hereby sign. Very strange. I hereby sign. And there was a later takana that knows, it's not enough to say, I hereby sign. You got to say your name. Now, this Mishnah, the way Rashi is explaining this Mishnah, Rashi is explaining it in terms of gittin, divorce. But Tosis on our daf and Beis Ibn Aleph says, when the Gemara says, Ein Eidim Chosim al Get al Metikun Olam, is not necessarily a get. It's any shtar. What kind of shtar? Any shtar? Kenyan. Because if it's a shtar raya, it's not Mibnei Tikkun Olam. If it's a shtar raya, you have to sign it because it's not a shtar. If it's not a raya. It's not just Mibnei Tikkun Olam. The chiddush is, even a shtar kinyan, according to Rav Lazar, that says you don't really have to sign because any Mesir Karti, but Mibnei Tikkun Olam, it's a good idea. So Tosus wants to say that the context of that Gemara is not necessarily a Gadisha. Any shtar. And sometimes in Shas, the word get is used for a shtar kinyan, even though it's not necessarily get isha. There's an ad colloquial jargon. We always said get means, you know, a get, a divorce bill. But in halachic terminology, a get is not necessarily a divorce bill. It's any shtar that affects change. So if it means that a shtar that affects the change of an ownership of a house, that's also a shtar. But it's interesting because Rashi interprets that Gemara Ein Eidim Chosim Al Get from the Tikkun Olam as a divorce bill, because he says the Tikkun Olam is that the husband's going to come and deny he divorced. But Tosa is saying that it doesn't necessarily have to be referred to only a get of a divorce bill. It could be any shtar kinyan. V'ayu b'chol ha-shtar. So perek hiska bel na mitanya v'chein le-gitten. Mefarsh Hashem Giti Mamon. Take a look. Samech Dal Adam and Aleph. So he says over there, the Gemara uses a phrase, v'chein l'gitten. Do you find it? Which line is it? Right here. You see, the first word on the line is l'mechila. Tanya became a gitten. In other words, the Braisa says something. This halacha, whatever the halacha they're talking about, applies also to git. So the verse says, "What's gitten? Gitei mamon." So you see that phrase gittin over there meant gittin mamon. So you see clearly from that Gemara that the Lashon get could also refer to a monetary document. Like a document where that it says that I'm selling you my house. That's also uses Lashon get. Because mokam lutzuch l'farsh can't get isha. So Tosis is bothered. In other words, over here, this is an example where Tosis has a unstated question. I think in the Shari Tosis, I think he calls it like Kusha Smuya. But sometimes Tosis, as I told you many times, sometimes Tosis will say V'im Tomar da 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 V'yesh Lomar da da da, and sometimes he'll make a statement which is an answer of an unarticulated question. So here, he's answering an unarticulated question. And that is, what's his unarticulated question? His unarticulated question is that if the word terminology of get can mean a regular shtar, kinyan, or it can mean a divorce bill, so how come the Mishnah didn't say hamevi get isha to clarify that you shouldn't think that, say, somebody's selling his house, and they're riding a shtar, and the guy's coming from Medina Sayam. So when he gives over the shtar, does he have to say b'fani nechtam? No, it's only a din by getting divorce. So Tosis is asking the question: since in Shas the word get sometimes means divorce, and sometimes it just means any shtar kinyan, so how come the Mishnah didn't clarify this? It should have said a maybe get isha, so this way you'll know that it only applies to get isha and it doesn't apply to anything else. And that's the question. So that's Tosis's unstated question. So he begins with just giving an answer to the question, but he was had an unstated question. So he says like this: Mikol mokam lohutzruch lefarsh kan get isha mishum de berov mekomos. Eched the katani gets tam, Iri beget isha. He says because most, in other words, it's true that sometimes in Shas get means a star mamon, but I don't know, 95% of the time it means a get isha. So if it would be like 50-50 or something like that, then there would be a lot of ambiguity. Then Taka, it should have said a maybe get isha, but since it's not, most of the time it means a get isha, so it wasn't necessary to articulate a maybe get isha. Umashinogim lichtov yud bei shuras beget. So he says, why the minhag is the get has 12 lines? Omer Rabbeinu Tam, mishum the get begmatria yud beis. Rabbeinu Tam says that get gematria is yud beis. So the gematria became the minhag. Yeah. Yeah, you mean say Gita Mabel?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they do say. Sometimes maybe they do say. But over here, he was bothered that it should have said Gerisha, and then he's saying it's good enough that it didn't. Perisham and B'Shem Rav Haigon, and B'Shem Rabbeinu Sadia, B'Shem Dechsiv Sefer Krisus, Kishir Yud Bei Shitin. Hamafsikin ben arba chumshay sefer Torah. You know, my bavasis to tzarch laniach arba shitin ben kol sefer v'sefer. Vehefsek shemim leidav mishne Torah v'choshiv sheinu el chozev v'shonu marshal mal. So he says another reason why a get has 12 lines is because the minhag is when you write a sefer Torah. You write Chumash Brachos, then Shmos, Vayikra, right? Sefer Torah is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So the minhag is that when you end, say, Brachos, you don't start Shmos right away in the Sefer Torah. They skip four lines, and then they start Shmos. And then when Shmos is finished, you skip four lines, and you start Vayikra. Vayikra is finished, you skip four lines, you start Bamidbar. Bamidbar is finished, you start four lines. So, Mele, Keneged, the four lines between Brachos and Shmos, another four lines between Shmos and Vayikra, another four lines between Vayikra and Bamidbar, that's 12, that's a get. Why don't you say it should be 16, because there's another four lines between Bamidbar and Dvarim? So he says, no, Dvarim doesn't really count, because Dvarim is just a rehash of everything. So we only count the four lines between Brachos and Shmos, Shmos of Vayikra and Vayikra of Bamidbar, that's 12 lines. And what's the connection between that and the get? No, that's the first thing that gets Gematria 12. So now we take a different reading. Krisus. Krisus means we're severing, separating. So the separations that exist. Between Brachos and Shmos, the Torah makes a separation. Between Shmos and Vayikra, it's a separation. Vayikra and Mizra is a separation. So that's how Tosis understands it. Okay, interesting. So the two Pshatim in Tosis of why the minhag is to have Yud Bei Shuras is either because Get Gematria or because of the four lines between Brachos and Shmos. Okay. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said, maybe get me Medina Sayam. Now, what is Medina Sayam? What is Medina Sayam? What do we say Medina Sayam is? What? Chutzlars. Good. So again, this Tosis is also. He starts off with an answer. Whereas the next Tosis, he also starts off with an answer. It's interesting. In other words, if you in Tomar, if Medina Sayyam means Chutzlars, why don't you just say it straight out, Chutzlars?
Would that be much more clear? So he starts off the Tosas by giving the answer, but without formulating it as a question and an answer.
He says, "Hadalo nakar hamevi get michutz la'aretz." Meaning, he's answering the question already. Well, what was the question? The question is, if Medinas Yam means chutz la'aretz, so say it out. Medinas Yam is very ambiguous, right? Chutz la'aretz is a very chutz la'aretz. I know chutz la'aretz is Medinas Yam. I don't know what that means. Can the Chanan Gemara maybe get b'sfida? Can maybe b'chutz la'aretz? So he says, what's the reason it didn't say that? Mishum de b'chutz la'aretz have a mashma kol chutz la'aretz. I feel reckon v'cheger. Lachi nokam mivin seyan. The mashma rachok. My isha shahal alach bayil al medina seyan. So he says like this. Medina Sayyam has a implication of far away. Far, far, far away. Was we're going to see that technically the places near Eretz Yisrael, which were not so far away, you might not have to say Befana Nechtam, Befana Nechtam. But it's not a din of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz per se. It's a din that in Eretz Yisrael, that's where the people will learn it, and that's where, you know, Shayaris Mitzuyos. So in Mela, you didn't have a problem of Lishma and Kiyama Get. But if it's far, far away, it's not a question, this is not a din of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Right? Fani Nechtam has nothing to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with the practical aspect that Eretz Yisrael had the knowledgeable people, and there was transportation. So, you don't have to say b'fani nechtam. But technically speaking, if you have something right out of Eretz Yisrael, which is right nearby, even though technically it's chutz la'aretz, but that also, as we'll learn, might not require you to have to say b'fani nechtam. What? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So that's what he says over here. Had the Lord not going to maybe chutz mechutz la'aretz because the Chanim Gemara maybe get b'svin. Yeah, the mechutz la'aretz have a mashma kol chutz la'aretz. I feel reckon v'cheger. Whereas if it would say chutz la'aretz maybe get mechutz la'aretz, I would think anything that's chutz la'aretz, even though like reckon v'cheger that are nearby, we also have to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, which is not the case. Lachi nokim diya sayam, the mashma rachok. Kmo isha shalach bayla la medina sayam. Right, like the famous Gemaras in Yevamos, that a husband, you know, the agunas sugyas, that a husband went far away to the medina sayam, and they don't know where he is, etc. So it doesn't say going to chutz la'aretz, because chutz la'aretz doesn't, medina sayam means, wow, far, far away. You know, in the deep depths of chutz la'aretz someplace. So that, so the din of, again, the din of b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam was not a din in Eretz Yisrael versus chutz la'aretz. It's a din of far away from the yishuv where the learned people were, or near, were nearby. Because Rekim Mecheger is up to debate. We'll have to see in the Mishnah. I mean, there's a famous Mishnah about, you know, by Chalitza, if one of the brothers goes to Medina Sayyam, and he's the Bechor, So you have to wait for him. And the Mishnah there says also, Medina Sayyam. He went far away. So do you have to wait till he comes back to do Chalitza? Or can you get one of the other brothers who's local? So the Trumas Hadeshin is Medayik from that Gemara. That there was the mitzvah always to have the oldest brother do the Yibum of the Chalitza. But the Mishnah says we don't wait. So we let the next brother do. Why? Because we're afraid. This guy went to Medina Sayyam. Who knows when he'll ever come back? And then he might, you know, die beforehand, and the mitzvah will never get done. So that's what the Trumas Hadeshin is Medai. But if it wouldn't have been Medina Sayyam, we would wait. Because the mitzvah, that's the mitzvah in a mufkar to be begot. So where does the Trumas Hadeshin say this? In what context does the Trumas Hadeshin say it? Famous Trumas Hadeshin. Context is Kiddush Levana. In other words, it's best to do Kiddush Levana Motzoi Shabbos when you're Shpitz and the Big Day Shabbos. Because you're Mekabel with Pnei Hashchina. But the question is, if you're going to wait, you might lose out on the mitzvah. So the Trumas Hadeshin compares it to that case. That, in other words, he says, if it's like early in the month, even if you wait till Motzoi Shabbos and it's cloudy, there'll still be backup days afterwards, then in the Hanami wait. But if it's later and there's not so many days left, so then don't wait. So that's the idea. In other words, the question is there an inyan to wait to do a mitzvah in a mufchar at the expense of losing it out totally? So if it's a hashash, it goes out totally, they're not. So that's what the Mishnah was talking about, that the brother went to Medina Sayyam. So if we wait for him, who knows, maybe the mitzvah will never get done. So then we say, don't wait, get the next brother. But Trumas Hadeshin said, the Mishnah is B'dayik Dafka Medina Sayyam, which means far away. So that's like this Tosfos. I should show it to you inside one day, that Trumas Hadeshin. Okay, I'm going to start Chumash momentarily. This Sunday, so the Shia will be as early as 10:15 and as late as 11:30, depending. So we should be here anyway. You'll get some. I'm sure you'll be very tired from sleepers, but nonetheless, you can be here on time.